From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. This month, the first human case of West Nile virus was reported in Idaho. Now, this infection is mostly commonly passed along by mosquitoes. And while some bites only lead to flu-like symptoms, others can actually lead to serious illness. So joining us today to talk more about the infection and how to help prevent it is Dr. Leslie Tingleson. She is the state public health veterinarian. Nice to have you on the program.
Good morning.
So, doctor, can you just start with letting us know what actually is West Nile virus?
Sure. Well, as the name implies, West Nile virus is a virus, and it infects people after they're bitten by a particular kind of mosquito. And we have these mosquitoes in Idaho. They're the mosquitoes called Culex mosquitoes. And they easily carry the virus. The virus is normally found in birds and in these cycles in nature. And occasionally the virus will find its way into a person if a mosquito, say, bites a bird and becomes infected and then bites a person, or a horse too. Horses are also quite susceptible to the virus.
So do you know how long after you're bitten would you start to maybe notice symptoms?
Well, it can take a few days, sometimes up to a week or so.
And so what are some of those symptoms? As I mentioned in the introduction to this, I mean, normally for most people, you might feel a bit cruddy, kind of like you have the flu.
Sure. Now, actually, about 80% of people that are infected don't even know they've been infected by the virus and kind of silently create protective antibodies. But 20% of people that are infected can go on to develop, for the most part, a, quote, mild, feverish kind of illness. You might feel down for a few days. You may have some fatigue for days to weeks, but generally you'll snap back. There's a very small percentage of people, and generally it's people over 50, but it can really happen to anyone, where some people get a really bad infection. It can infect the brain. They can become confused. They can become quite ill, requiring hospitalization. And a very, very small percentage of those people can actually go on and die from the infection. So although it doesn't happen very often, we are very concerned about West Nile because it can have serious consequences for some people.
So I'm trying to remember when we first started reporting on West Nile virus in Idaho, and gosh, I want to say it was upwards of about two decades ago. So correct me if I'm wrong on that. But
sure,
I remember
it was 2004 is when we had our very first case here in Idaho that was acquired from an Idaho mosquito.
And I remember when that happened, doctor, it was, a very serious. I mean, you know, I remember reporting on this. People, you know, telling people to take, you know, precautions. People were very concerned about this. So now let's fast forward 19 years. How common is this in Idaho now? You know, what West Nile virus?
Sure. Well, we went through a real rough patch in those early days where pretty much everyone in the state had never been infected with this virus before. So we had a lot of very susceptible people. So at the time, say 2006, Idaho actually had the most cases in the whole country with close to 1,000 for that year alone. Now we average about 11 cases per year. I think mostly that's because, as I mentioned earlier, about 80% of the time, people don't even know they've gotten the infection, but they develop immunity and they're not likely to get it again. So we're not seeing the numbers at all like we did in those early days. But I want to put a caveat out there is I feel like there's probably still a lot of mild infections out there where people don't think to that it's bad enough to go test it, to be tested by mm-hmm. their doctor. But we definitely see folks that wind up in the hospital with what we call the neuroinvasive form. We definitely still get reports of those serious infections. Mm-hmm. And so I still feel like we're hearing about the serious ones. And I don't think we're hearing so much about the, quote, milder ones anymore. So to circle back, we have about 11 a year now, probably the last 5 years or so. Last year, we only had three. But we do tend to start seeing cases in August and September. So since every year is different, I don't want people to get kind of lax about their mosquito prevention. So really my big message is please, when you're outside, particularly at dusk and dawn, when these Culex mosquitoes really like to seek out a blood meal, please make sure you're wearing that bug spray.
So what happens if you get the virus? I mean, is there a vaccine now or some type of medication you can take?
No, there is a vaccine for horses, which is very effective. However, there is not a vaccine for people. So really, if you do think you have a West Nile infection, just talk to your healthcare provider. They can help you with your symptoms. And of course, if you're one of those unlucky individuals that develops a more serious condition, you may wind up in the hospital, and then you'll be managed based on what your doctor thinks is best to manage your symptoms.
So as you mentioned, there's a vaccine for horses. So how concerned should people be about the West Nile virus when it comes to their animals, you know, their pets getting infected, that type of thing?
Sure. West Nile virus does affect certain birds. Generally, it affects the wild corvids, which are like crows, ravens, magpies. It can be quite deadly in those birds. Also, the birds of prey, eagles, hawks, a lot of times it will actually kill those birds. As far as our domestic pets, like dogs and cats, generally not a problem. Horses, as I've mentioned several times, it can be quite serious in horses. So horse owners should talk to their veterinarian about getting their horses vaccinated every year. It's an annual vaccine.
So, Doctor, what kinds of spaces are most likely to have those larger mosquito populations? I mean, I know you mentioned, you know, make sure you've got that bug spray on at dusk and dawn. But are there certain areas that people should be even more aware of?
Well, the mosquitoes do tend to lay their eggs in standing water. And so any area, marshy area, even your backyard, if you've got standing water and, you know, I mean, small amounts of standing water, say you have a flower pot that holds water in the bottom or a bird water bath, you know, just make sure those things are freshened or dumped out and changed weekly so they're not providing this kind of great reservoir for these mosquitoes to be reproducing and appearing in your own backyard. As far as protecting yourself, in addition to wearing bug spray, you know, check those screens in your home. Make sure you don't have holes in your screens. And that's just another way to keep the mosquitoes out of your home.
And what can people do exactly then to protect themselves from the virus outside of what you just mentioned? Is there anything else that people should be aware of?
Well, really our biggest message is wear bug spray. And if you're going to use mosquito repellent in children, make sure you read the label so you're using a strength that's appropriate for children. You can also cover up your arms and legs with with long sleeve shirts and pants as well to avoid those mosquitoes.
Okay. So what is your best advice for someone, doctor, if they suspect that they have West Nile? And I ask this because I'm thinking, well, gosh, everybody gets bitten by mosquitoes. It's kind of inevitable, right? And I don't know if I would ever think, well, I got bitten by a mosquito a week ago. I'm not feeling too great. Maybe I should go get checked for West Nile.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, most people, even if you are bitten by a mosquito, you're not going to go on and develop West Nile virus. So I don't recommend anytime you're bitten by a mosquito to automatically go get tested for the virus. But I would say if you're really quite ill, I would definitely seek medical attention and you know, mention, hey, I think I had some mosquito bites. Could this be why I'm feeling so poorly? You know, there are a lot of other reasons why people might have a feverish illness, and they could be coming down with COVID or the flu. You know, people, it's a pretty vague kind of clinical presentation where you're just having a headache and feverish. So I think visiting a healthcare provider to get a professional opinion on what's going on is always the best remedy.
Well, we sure appreciate your professional opinion today in talking to us about this and giving us some tools that could really help. So I appreciate the conversation.
Of course, anytime. Thank you, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.